Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, having come now to the main body of Paul's epistle to Philemon, we have come to the subject that Paul wants to address to Philemon, the reason why he wrote the letter, the purpose for this personal communication, which is included by the Spirit of God in the New Testament Scriptures as a portion of God's holy word. And the person that we're talking about is the slave, runaway slave, by the name of Onesimus. And Paul talks about him in verses 10 and 11, when he says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. And the question is, what made Onesimus profitable? And the answer is, the transforming power of the gospel did so. But it's helpful to look at this a little more closely, and that's exactly what we are doing. And so what we're seeing is, first of all, the subject of Paul's appeal in verse 10, and then secondly, the basis of Paul's appeal in verse 11. We're looking more carefully at the one that Paul is making an appeal for, on whose behalf Paul is making an appeal, and we're looking specifically at the ways that Paul describes and identifies him in verse 10. He doesn't just identify him by his name, Onesimus, but he identifies him by several other words and descriptions that are very helpful to us to understand exactly what is going on now. So that's the verse that we are focusing on this Friday, November 3, as we gather together around the Word of God on the Beacon Broadcast, and as we do so because there are radio listeners like you who are willing to help us with the cost of this ministry. Well, the subject of Paul's appeal is, first of all, someone identified as Paul's son or Paul's child. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, which can actually communicate a number of things, but two things primarily. Number one, his new status as a child of God. He is a son, not biologically, to Paul. Paul didn't have any children, as far as we know. There's no record that he did. In fact, the Bible indicates that he was single, unmarried, and some think that he may have had a wife at one time and the wife had died. So if that were the case, then of course it would not be impossible that he should have children, but we don't have any inkling. Not only don't have any clear record, we don't have the slightest hint that Paul had any biological children. And to think that he possibly had a wife who is now dead is merely speculation. There are some reasons to speculate in that direction, which I won't go into now, but it's mere speculation. The only thing that we know from the Bible is that Paul was an unmarried man, and there's no indication that he had any biological children. So when he's talking to us about his son, Onesimus, he's talking in spiritual terms. He's talking about one who has been born again by the Spirit of God. He is now a son of God by virtue of the new birth, and he is also speaking in terms of endearment. He's like a son to me. And so he is Paul's child. But secondly, he is identified as Philemon's slave. He's Paul's son, but he's Philemon's slave. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Now, Onesimus, the name that this slave bore, is a common adjective in the Greek language, which means something like useful, or profitable, or helpful. And that's where we get to this idea of profitable in verse 11, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. And there's a real play on words here in the Greek language that we can't really communicate accurately in English, but it all surrounds the meaning of this slave's name, Onesimus, which was a very common name for slaves. This tells us that this man was probably born into slavery and was given this name as a child. Probably his mother and perhaps father as well were slaves. And when he was born, they didn't name him. Their master named him a common slave name, Onesimus, which means useful or profitable or helpful. And it's kind of a, what should I say, a wish, a hopeful wish for this child that he will prove to be useful. He will prove to be profitable. He will prove to be helpful to his master. In the Greek language, the name comes last in the verse and identifies the formerly rebellious slave of Philemon. And it may, when he got to this point in reading it, it may have actually come as a surprise to Philemon. We don't know. Again, too many details are not given to us. Did Philemon know that Paul was sending Onesimus back? Had he seen Onesimus yet? The likelihood, to me, is that he would not have, because Paul wants him to read this letter before he meets Onesimus face to face. Paul wants to make the appeal. Paul wants to set the groundwork. Paul wants to soften Philemon up, so to speak, because if he suddenly sees Onesimus and doesn't know this information about him that is communicated to him by Paul through this letter, then perhaps his anger will get the best of him. He may act in a way that he will later wish he did not act. And Paul is very interested in his receiving Onesimus kindly and favorably. So, though we are not told this specifically, my guess is that Philemon was given the letter by Tychicus before he knew that Onesimus was present, that he had come along with Tychicus. And so I appeal to you for my son, whom I have begotten while in my chains. And now Philemon's curiosity is greatly aroused. Paul is appealing to him for who? For my son, whom I have begotten while in my chains, comma, Onesimus. The name is last in the Greek, Onesimus. And suddenly this name of his runaway slave is introduced into the epistle and further identifies the subject of Paul's appeal. Who was Paul appealing for? Number one, for his son, as he calls him. Number two, for Philemon's slave, Onesimus by name. And the object of Paul's advocacy, he says, I appeal to you for, as in, and that word for can have a couple of different meanings, for, as in to obtain or acquire. I appeal to you, for example, to give another way this word could be used, I'm appealing to you for your daughter's hand in marriage. If somebody said that to a man, what would they be saying? I'm asking you to give her to me. I'm asking to obtain or acquire her. That I'm asking for her. But that's not what Paul is saying here. It is rather the use of the word for to mean on behalf of or in the interest of. We're talking here about advocacy. Paul is not asking for Onesimus as someone might ask for a daughter's hand in marriage. Paul's not saying, I would like you to give Onesimus to me to continue to serve me in Rome, though there are a couple of hints of that in here. But when he says, I'm appealing to you for Onesimus, what he means is, I'm appealing to you on behalf of Onesimus. I'm appealing to you in the interest of Onesimus. We learn thereby that Onesimus has a powerful advocate in Paul, based on who Paul is, not who Onesimus is. Now, what is the point I'm trying to get across here? Onesimus didn't have a very strong position to make an appeal to Philemon. He had wronged Philemon greatly. He'd run away from him, apparently had stolen from him in order to fund his trip to Rome. How else would he have had money to make a journey like this, which would have been fairly expensive? He had stolen from Philemon in two ways. We know he stole in this sense, that having run away, he removed himself, the legal property of Philemon, he removed himself from Philemon's possession. So whatever he was worth as a slave on the slave market, he had in effect stolen that from Philemon, but there's indication that he probably stole a sum of money as well. So he's not in a very good position to make an appeal to Philemon, but Paul is. Paul is going to be a powerful advocate for Onesimus based on who Paul is, not who Onesimus is. Because Paul is Philemon's spiritual father. Check it out in verse 19 of this epistle. Paul is Philemon's ministry partner. Check that out in verse 17 of this epistle, and we'll get to all of these in due time. Paul is a highly regarded servant of Christ. That's why he said in verse 9, I appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. These are two references to Paul's service for Christ, his faithful service over many years. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Well, because I see a great gospel picture in all of this. And Onesimus had an effective advocate in Paul, and what I want you to understand is we have a more effective advocate in Christ before the judgment bar of God. I don't have any standing before God by which to make an appeal to him, nor do you. I can't go to Almighty God and say, please have mercy upon me because I am a good person. If I think so, I'm terribly mistaken. Please have mercy upon me because of my family lineage or for what? How would any of these things be impressive to Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth? But if I have an advocate, one who stands at the Father's right hand, one who is the beloved Son of the Father, whom he delights in every way, one who has pleased his Heavenly Father in everything perfectly, and if he becomes my advocate, then I have a powerful advocate indeed. Nearer to Almighty God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. In fact, I am as dear as he. Oh, I tell you, there is a wonderful gospel portrait in this epistle to Philemon, and we've just begun to open it up at this juncture, and we'll see a great deal more as we move along. But for now, we must leave the broadcast today. Please join me next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.